We're going to get started here with this March meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Mr. Detweiler, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Brandt?
Here.
Mr. Morlock?
Present.
Mr. Swanger?
Here.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Present.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Hall's present.
Mr. Bean, do you lead us in pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Does anyone have anything for the board work session other than myself?
I do, Mr. President. I wanted to remind everybody that next Tuesday, the 19th, is the Central Region Spring Conference. I'll get everything started at 6 o'clock, but there will be a social hour and a networking time at 5 o'clock. Tim tells us that we do have a table reserved, so come and join the party. We're going to have Dr. Roderick McDavis, President of Ohio University, be our featured speaker. And we'll go from there. There's several awards that will be given out, and we'll have fun with that. Also, next week, Thursday at 6:30, is the FFA banquet for Madison Plains. So that's it.
Okay. I've got several things in the tolls report tonight. The first one, I'm going to pass this around. This is a letter from one of the IEP students at Tolls. Talks a little bit about what she thinks of the program and what it's done for. The other things that I have, no particular order on here. I guess the one that grabbed me the most, we are working with the Ohio oil and gas energy people because of the Utica Shale in eastern Ohio. And we're working with them because of the number of jobs that are going to be available because of this. And I've got some information that is just outstanding from the standpoint of the future of Ohio. Ohio has the bulk of the gas and oil in Utica Shale. By 2020, the U.S. oil and natural gas production in the world will be led by the United States. There's currently 47 wells in the state of Ohio. By 2015, we will have 2,250 wells in the state of Ohio. That's an increase of about 2,000 wells. It's projected to increase financial income in the state of Ohio from $162 million to $4.9 billion. Projection for employment, when they first came out with this, they said there'd be about 65,000 jobs available. Currently, there's 2,200 jobs in the gas and shale or oil and gas industry. By 2015, they're looking at 205,000 jobs available in the state of Ohio. Big focus on in the state is logistics and transportation. Automotive fuels are going to be going to natural gas. Plastics, adhesive, building supplies, and so on will grow. Transportation, repair, and maintenance is going to be a tremendous growth in that area. Equipment repair and maintenance, welding jobs, security jobs, construction. The industry is calling for 7 more gas refineries by 2017, mostly in the state of Ohio. There'll be an increase in health jobs, especially when we find out what pouring all that water into the ground is going to do to the groundwater. That part tends to worry me, but there'll be so much money floating around that people probably won't care. not to mention the number of business and administrative jobs. So anyway, we are currently at Tolls working with these people to see what we can do as far as high school kids are concerned and the training that we can provide so that these kids can move into those jobs. But I ask a question, because when I think of oil and gas, I think of some guy out on a rig either drilling a well or working on the well. And what I really wanted to know was whether or not there's going to be jobs available to kids in a high-tech area, or are they just going to be, you know, high school diploma jobs, $8.50, $10 an hour. The answer I got kind of surprised me. About one-third of the jobs will require a high school diploma. They're saying now that those will pay better than $9 to $10 an hour, but $10 an hour, as most of you know, is poverty level. Falls right in with the service jobs that our high school graduates are all going to be available for. We have got to get our kids prepared for post-secondary education, and two-thirds of our kids are going to have to go that route. I'm not talking college, I'm talking post-secondary. Whether it's tech school, whether it's college, or whatever that happens to be, these jobs are high tech. 65% of these 200,000 jobs are going to take associates or bachelor's degrees in order to get, and we want to be on the front line of training those people. We at least want to take care of the Tolls area, and hopefully we will pull some students from other parts of the state. Right now the governor says if you want money, you got to teach kids. So the object of our game is to provide the best programs that we can for young people, and we're going to pull kids in and teach these programs. But this is exciting, except for pumping the water into the ground. The rest of it sounds pretty good, but the jobs that are going to be available are just absolutely remarkable. If this doesn't turn economics around in the state of Ohio, I don't know what will. Anyway, that's oil and gas industry. The other things going on are tolls. A lot of things up there are very similar to what we do down here, other than our workforce. Adult workforce education department is gearing up. We are a GED site at Tolls, and the state exam for GED is going online. So we're gearing up to maintain our position as a testing center for that. I thought this was kind of interesting. One of our supervisors put this note in that was sent to her from a cooperating teacher from another school district, and says to all the great and wonderful teachers at Tolls, he likes them. Anyway, this is why I think and believe that Tolls is the number one place for our kids to get help and a good chance to be successful if they apply themselves. This is why I try my best to get kids to come to Tolls. Kate, you and your staff go out of their way to help our kids and to make the best of their field and career. Thank you for caring for all kids and my kids, whom I love and care about very much. Signed, Will Pratt, our transition coordinator from Madison Plains. We gave the Compass test this year to determine college readiness of our students, and results were pretty poor. We're somewhere in the neighborhood of about 25% of them are college ready. My question was, how do we compare with other schools across the state? And first year, pretty much the same. They've taken a look at this, they know what's on the test, and there's already program in the works to bring the kids that are at Tolls up to level on these Compass tests. Sophomore visitation is going on April 4th, or in the month of April and May. There's also established eighth grade visitations Right now, we got about 1,000 kids signed up. National Honor Society or National Technical Honor Society is coming up in a week or so. Our leadership development organizations are doing quite a bit on regional and state level. The health occupations, the culinary arts organization, and FFA are all hosting state competitions at Tolls. And incidentally, all three of those groups will probably do very, very well in the competition. They have in the past, and I'm sure they will do very well again this year. We've got a lot of recognition through the state, and a lot of our teams in especially these three areas, have gone on to national competition. The other thing to change, adult workforce education, the accreditation North Central Accreditation no longer is accrediting, or at least what we're trying to get is to be able to get Title IV funds, so we're going to have to find another group to come in and certify or accredit our programs up there. But we do have a letter from the State Department of Education that says for the next 18 months, while we're out there trying to get accreditation through another group, we can continue to teach the programs we teach and also add programs to our list of opportunities for people. We're in the process right now also of working with Lorain County Community College in the areas of medical assisting, industrial mechanics, and supply chain management to cooperate with them and also get credit for our students through them, as well as Columbus State Community College. We're looking at additional partnerships there to add courses and programs that our kids can get college credit for. As we're doing here at Madison Plains, we're also writing student learning objectives at Tolls, and that's going on at the current time. Our superintendent is in the community and looking to find out what businesses need and what they want. Plain City Business Association, which is similar to Chamber of Commerce, has disbanded, but they have put that group back together, and they're now working with Tolls to give us what their needs are. We're doing the same thing with Union County and Champaign County to see what jobs they need training for. Project Search. We have, for the last 3 years, we've had 10 kids, all of them from Franklin County, because that program was dropped in Madison County due to lack of participation, lack of participation by the groups that ran it, and also the parents and the students that were in it. It seems that in Madison County, students who would fall into that program that would need help with disabilities and be on IEPs, parents view those kids as meal tickets. And when they graduate from high school, the parents don't want them to go out. They want them to stay home because that provides food and so forth for the family. So program's gone in Madison County, but in 2014, we are going to receive the opportunity to again have our kids that want to get into that Project Search program will be able to get in. Right now, of the 30 students that have graduated from that program, as of a week ago, all 30 of them are employed in very productive jobs, $15 an hour plus with benefits, and through the program, if they need help with housing, transportation, whatever that needs, they're still involved with that part of it, but they are all productively working at, many of them at Dublin Methodist, but some of them have been employed in other hospitals in the area. So the program is expanding. Year after next, Madison County will be included in that. Champaign County heard about it, they want in too. Also have some information on career and technical education. I'll send these papers around, if you really get excited about it and anybody wants these, feel free to keep them. That's all I have, Mr. President.
Anyone else? Okay. As I said at the last meeting, Don and I have been working on the evaluations for the superintendent and treasurer. I have copies to pass out tonight, which I will here in just a second. We will be using the old format due to the fact that it would be unfair to switch over midstream, and we need to sit down as a group and work through some of the goals and strategies to get this plan in place for next year for the ODE format. Just on your evaluations, note the items that have changed and need to be noted on the current evaluation with recommendations for change before the next evaluation. This upcoming evaluation that I'm passing out tonight, if you guys could have those completed and either back to myself or Don by April 1st, we can put the comprehensive evaluation together and have it ready to present to the board for discussion at the April 16th meeting. After that, we can go ahead and either present it to these folks or the evaluation we can present at the May meeting if we need to make changes. The new evaluation, and there's a copy of it in here as well, blank form, and also job descriptions. Currently, Madison Plains job descriptions for the superintendent treasurer, and then we also have in here samples of job descriptions for superintendent and treasurer that we got from ODE. That's one of the first things in looking at the new job description. We need to make sure our job description is in line with the new evaluation process. So just review that and provide some feedback on that. Coming up with the new evaluation system is going to require probably a team of all seven of us to sit down and go through that. And again, we'll be talking about the job descriptions as well. We'll need to develop annual district objectives as well as work plans, probably looking at 2 to 3 meetings. We would like to probably do those in May or June of this year. Following that, we will do a mid-year assessment using the new evaluation form by January 15th, 2014. We can even do that in December if we're ready. And then the final evaluation using the new form will be done by June of 2014. And then at the end of that phase, we develop objectives and work plans for the 2014-15 year, and the whole process starts all over. So I'll pass these out. They're in groups, so there's 4 groups there. I'll go over what's in there in that pocket. The first 2 green forms are the evaluations that you're used to seeing, and the new objectives that we received from Boone and Tim last fall. Those have been incorporated in the narrative portion on the back. So these are what I need you folks to fill out and get back to us by the 1st if possible. We also have Madison Plains job descriptions for the superintendent and treasurer in here, and also the samples provided from ODE. two larger forms are both the new Ohio Superintendent Evaluation System and the Treasurer Evaluation System that we will be moving to for the fall next year. So if you have any questions or any concerns, give us a call. But do take a look at, probably get these evaluations done first, the most important thing. But do take a look at those evaluations and the job descriptions that we have in place and see if you think that we need to make any modifications or changes to those. Don, do you have anything that I missed?
I think you got it all. Main thing is that we get the evaluations back by the 1st of April so that we can put that together and finish up our evaluation of Mr. Hall and Mr. Detweiler for this year.
Moving on to public communication. I've got several people who want to speak tonight. I just want to remind everyone that this is being recorded and that we do have press here. Please don't mention any other student names or staff member names when you're up there. When you come up, please state your name and your address. The first person on the list is Damon Busby.
Hello, my name is Damon. I live at 325 Trinity Drive, Cleveland, Ohio. I'm here to address the board about me making very stupid and shameful mistakes in the past month and a half. I've recently broke the policy for drugs and alcohol, and I wish to fulfill playing baseball because of me changing my ways, me making sure that I don't disappoint my family and friends ever again. My teammates, they're very disappointed in me. My parents, very disappointed in me. And I believe me ending on a basketball season like I did is not the way to go. I don't want to look back at Madison Plains and only see me making mistakes. I want to see me achieving my goals and achieving my dreams. I have plenty of people here to address this and show you not only myself saying words about me changing, but them too also. So I'm here to just tell you guys that I'm sorry and I wish I could play baseball for Madison Plains program, do it better. Make the team better as athletically and also through my experiences, make the players understand that the way I went was not the way to go. They need to see that there's better in life than acting foolish and thinking you can do what you want. So if any of my people who are here with me want to stand up and speak for me, please do so.
Dean, you're next on the list.
Can you skip me?
Okay.
Go to the next one.
Sure. The next one we have on here is Gene Hughes.
Hi, I'm Jean Hughes. I'm with Madison County Municipal Court Probation, and I'm here on behalf of Damon Gillespie. Not too many people on my caseload would ask me to come and speak for them, but at this point, Damon is compliant. Damon came to me last week and expressed his interest to play baseball. Of course, we're very supportive of his decision, but Damon's main concern was how was he going to play baseball and still maintain the schedule that Judge Eric M. Schooley had set for him. I explained to Damon that our job as probation officer is to make sure that he is successful in his probation. And so we are to support him with the judge's orders. Judge Schooley is very supportive of the athletics, and he would allow us to arrange his schedule requirements to work around baseball and his school. With that said, Damon knows his responsibility for his future and for completing all of his requirements. I do believe Damon wants to put his best foot forward, and he cannot change the past. He has accepted his responsibility and faced the consequences. He can make choices that will shape his future and be productive and successful part of his community. I am confident that Damon can accomplish this by making good decisions and with the support of his family and friends and his community. Punishment cannot go without praise. Thank you. And I think you did a great job tonight, Damon.
Next is Kelly Cooley.
here on the on behalf of the Impact Committee. And I am just going to speak and bring the board up to speed on what the Impact Committee is doing, Madison Plains Advisory Council, in supporting Boone and the direction of the school district as we approach the levies and things that we're considering for the betterment of all the students. And we have some committee representation here tonight, so if you guys could raise your hands. Come on. If you don't raise your hands, then you're an officer, so I think. Right? Right. I think you all know about the Madison Plains Advisory Committee, but I will tell you that, you know, Boone might have ideas, but we might question those. And our job is to throw out suggestions and really get feedback from the community members on what they would like to see done with the school. So when we talk about what that looks like, I think you all got this pamphlet a couple meetings ago, so I won't reread everything, but certainly we've got 10-year plans. Right now we're focused on the levy that's going on in May, the PI levy. We've been meeting at local community places. We were at, help me with where we were the last week.
Sounds like a Midwood.
Firehouse.
Okay, that's where we were. I just go. And we would like to give special recognition and thanks to Don Swanger for coming to our meetings and supporting us, because we really appreciate that. And as we go out to the community, it's really important that we have positive support from the board, all members, and as many community members as we can get for supporting us on a go forward. This isn't just about the levy. This is about all the decisions that will be made once that levy passes, and other improvements and things that they're going to do with that money, and how the school moves on a go forward. I don't know if anybody has seen the, I brought my little, I was going to stand here. ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. Have you seen our little? I've brought stickers because I thought Boone might not pass them out, but that's not. Oh, look, it's right here. See? So we got stickers. I think that we're just trying to get the word out there and make sure that everyone's aware, and then maybe people ask us questions. What does that mean? What does that mean to me? What does that mean as a property owner within Madison Plains School District, and the tax implications to that? So. I just wanted to bring you up to speed, and on behalf of the committee, thank you for your time and support. And we really want to thank Boone and Tim, because they're very open to our opinions. They might not like to hear them, because I have a lot of them, I know, and some of my other too, but I think that that's what it's about, right? Bringing back what the community wants for their children, their grandchildren, and the students of Madison Plains. Do you have any questions?
I just like to say we're not always there, but we do appreciate everything you guys are doing. We know you're doing a lot of hard work, and it's very much appreciated. So,
thank you. Thank you. I'll pass that on our next meeting.
The next meeting is in Mount Sterling. Is that what I saw?
Mount Sterling? I'm going to defer that question. Do you have it? Do you want me to pass that out?
We have a copy.
Confirm today. Yeah.
Confirm today. Okay, hot off the press.
And make sure Dean gets a copy.
Yeah, all right,
like
so.
To go to Mount Sterling.
We do.
Mount Sterling Community Center.
March 20th.
March 20th.
Okay. 6 to 7:30. So we'll make sure everybody gets that out, gets copies. I don't want to take all your copies.
No.
You have pass them off?
The board has a budget.
Okay.
While you're doing that, Karen, I just want to say that I've always been a big proponent of advisory committees. And I'm glad you have reiterated that you are an advisory committee and not just a levy committee. We need the input from the community in order to educate our kids and make sure that they are prepared for the world. A lot of the times we kind of live in a bubble here in education, and we don't always know what's going on in the workforce or always everything that's going on in the community. And we depend on the advisory committee to keep us informed and to let us know what our kids have got to have if they're going to go out there and compete for jobs in the world today. So thank you for what you do. And yeah, don't get away from that advisory.
And we won't. But like I said, we're taking a little detour just to talk about the levy and kind of just get the word out there. So our last couple meetings have really been levy focused. We've got a project plan that details out the next 2 months of our things that we, letters that go out, calls that we made, letters to the editor. So we have a project plan around that. So right now focused on the levy, but we will absolutely be back to giving our feedback, giving the community feedback, and giving the parents and students feedback to Mr. Hall and Mr. Depp. Okay? Thank you.
I'm Dean Gillespie, Damon's dad, and I'm here to speak on his behalf. First of all, while I am here, I would like to thank the board for letting me coach basketball for 15 years at varsity level. It was a real blessing. I did announce my retirement last week due to my job getting busier, just don't have the time to do it like I feel it should be done. On Damon's behalf, I'm glad that he realized he made a huge mistake. I think a lot of kids do. I'm glad that he could fess up to it and learn from his mistakes. As a parent, you preach and preach and preach, but you can't be around them 24/7. They're going to do things that we're not very proud of, and they need to suffer the consequences. And I feel like he has done that, not just through the school, but also through the judicial system. It's pretty tough coaching a basketball game when your son's sitting in jail. But I think there's a lesson was learned. And at the same time, I would like to give not just Damon, but any kid that makes mistakes, I think they have to have something to look forward to also. He's been a good kid through every year here at Madison Plains, and I would hate to see him go out this way, and I would like for him to have the opportunity to play baseball and to maybe make a difference, and to where maybe some of the other kids could also learn from his mistakes. And I appreciate some of these teammates showing up in his support also. And I'd be glad to answer any questions at a later time, or if there is any questions, I'm sure there will be. I'd be glad to answer them.
Does anyone want to make any changes as far as the drug policy or talk about that? I don't know when you need direction, Mr. Hall, proceed forward on this.
I assume the board can give me some direction, then certainly I can pass that on to the family. The sooner the better, obviously. We do have a policy. The policy is fairly, what, 3 or 4 years old. We developed that policy.
Right.
And we think it's a fair policy. Yeah, it's up to the board to look at that policy and look at the situation. Is there variables in this policy that you can live with, and know at the same time down the road you may have to come up with this again? So we're going to have to be conscious of that.
Correct. It's on page 10 in your policy. So does the board want to keep the policy as is for right now? Do you want to get with Mr. Hall in the next 24 hours and let him know?
I think the policy was in place to prevent something like this from happening, to be sure that we have the athletes that are in it for the sport, in it for either being a role model or whatnot. It's unfortunate, but I don't know what kind of example we would be making to let him come back and play again, and then have other students come back and fail a test or two and want to come back, and we make a precedent here. I don't think that would be fair for what the policy is in place to try to do.
I guess, I don't know, I'd like some time to think about this. I've got some additional questions that I want to ask. I guess I talked with Mr. Hall, and our policy is not doing what I wanted it to do. We do remove kids from extracurricular activities if they break our alcohol and drug policy. But so far, the word that I've gotten is most of these kids walk away from this, take the suspension, and say the heck with it, I'd rather have the drugs and be involved in extracurricular activities. And that was my objection to the policy that we have. Yeah, it gets them out of the program, but it doesn't get them into the program that these kids need to be into. This is an intervention program that we want to find out where these kids are on the spectrum of drug usage. And so far, this policy hasn't done much for us. The kids come in and Mr. Hall says, well, you don't want to participate. You kind of like doing what you're doing. I guess you're going to have to keep doing what you're doing. Now we've got a situation where somebody's taking advantage of the fact that there is help out there. And I guess I don't believe that anybody that's doing drugs or alcohol can break that cycle by themselves. I think you've got to have some help to do this. And until a person admits that I need some help and gets it, I don't think we're going to have much success with it. So I want time to think about this. And as far as changing the policy, I'm not sure exactly what some of those ins and outs are. And I need to see those. But I guess I kind of think the kids deserve a second chance. Third's a little bit different, but I like the second chance. I know in the past this board has said, if you screw up, we're done with you. We don't even care if you come back to Madison Plains. Because we had a student in that situation not too long ago, and we just essentially threw him out. And I guess I don't believe in throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
If you look at that policy, it does allow for intervention at different levels.
If I may say something, he has gone through an intervention. He is in treatment. He is compliant with his treatment. It's not like he's just asking to come back. I wouldn't be here on behalf of him if he hadn't done that. He is in, and he is doing what he's supposed to do, and he is asked for help, and he has done judicially what he's supposed to. But on the other side of that, he's also taken responsibility and came to me and said, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to have future. Now, I can tell you I have a whole caseload of people that you're talking about that come in with no support, and no one wants them, and guess what? We see them next week with a new charge, because we're not helping anything. If you want to help your community, we have to make sure that we take advantage of someone who wants the help.
So there has been an assessment.
That's correct.
By certified people, and there is a bona fide program.
He is involved in counseling. That's correct. He is already involved. He has taken those steps before he came to you today.
Okay. That was one of my questions.
He has.
Does the board want to get their questions answered, the questions they may have, and get back with Mr. Hall by the end of this week? Is that leaving you enough time? Is that sufficient?
Sure.
Okay. And then somebody here will let you know. At this point, I'd like to make a motion that the minutes of the February 19th, 2013 meeting be approved as written.
A second.
Motion by myself, seconded by Linda. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Grant?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yeah.
Motion carries.
And Mr. Detweiler, do you have a financial report for us tonight?
We do. You have your financial statements are all presented. Board docs. You also have the CFO notes from me. We will be talking more at the April meeting, and I keep pushing this back because I'm hoping that the legislature gets their work done. As you know, about 50% of our revenue comes from the state, so it's hard to have our forecast change until I know that 50%, what that's going to look like. If you recall, we had to present in May a revised forecast to the state, so they're kind of pushing us up against the wall as to whether we're going to be able to revise that forecast to reflect the new state dollars or not. As you know, right now we're flat funded on the state again, is what they project. Hopefully, through the legislature process, we may end up with something, but as of right now, it's still zero. So, at the next meeting, we'll be talking more in depth about the finances. is when we'll have to start talking about the assumptions in the forecast and see if we're still on target, if we need to make changes. So that will be a little bit more lengthy of a meeting when it comes to finances.
Question, Tim.
Sure.
We're flat funded for next year, which means we're going to get the same amount of money from the state. Does what happens if our enrollment goes down? Will that change it? Or will we still get that same amount?
As of right now, we're on the guarantee. So you're guaranteed to get the same amount of money you got last year.
And if our numbers increase, we'll get the same amount of money
you
got last year.
You're guaranteed to get the same thing you got last year. And that's for the next 2 years, by the way. It's by any budget. Both years were projected to have zero increase.
Okay. And then that depends on what the legislature does with it.
Yeah. There's a lot of pushback, as we knew there would be, that, you know, all the big inner city schools are getting all the money and all the rural schools are not getting anything. Now, having been working for one of those schools for 10 years, I know what their argument is going to be. Our enrollment went up by 50% in the last 10 years, and we were flat funded during that time. So there's a good argument that you're going to hear from the other side, too. So we'll see who's got the loudest voice at this point.
Well, the increase in funds that they talked about for education will barely pay, if it does pay, for the items that they've added to it. I mean, they're looking at every day, all day kindergarten statewide, and there were a couple other things that were added. And the amount of money that went into that budget is I'm not sure enough to cover that, let alone try and increase anything. I know the governor rolled this thing out with, boy, everybody's gonna do well. And when everybody gets their letter, they found out that there's no more money in it. He talked about increased funding for career and technical education. We get barely 20% of the funds at tolls come from the state, and we got absolutely zero increase, even though our students are going up and our programs are increasing. In fact, a comment was made to guarantee to career and technical centers is they're getting money they don't deserve. Yet the governor is out there pushing for jobs.
Well, the other piece is your ESCs are going to have a hard time surviving. The educational service centers, their funds are going to be cut dramatically.
Yes.
And they're going to have to stay in existence. They're going to have to charge the locals back for the services at a much higher rate. And, of course, at that point, it doesn't make it a good option for us. We'd rather have the employees be our own if we're going to pay the same amount, because then you have direct control. So it's going to be tough for the ESCs to survive, which goes against the governor's proposal last year of shared services.
Okay,
right.
So there's a lot of conflicting things happening up the state. A bit of good news for us. Mr. Hackett, our representative with the Ohio House, sent us a basically notice telling us that we were presented with the Auditor of State's award from Ohio Auditor of State David Yost for financial excellence. School districts get that if they file their financial reports timely. The audit report doesn't contain any findings for recovery, citations, material weaknesses, significant deficiencies, single audit findings, or questioned costs. And the management letter, which you recall, we did have a couple comments, but they did not relate to ethics, question costs less than $10,000, lack of timely reports, reconciliations, failures to obtain timely single audit, findings for recovery, or public meetings or public records issues. If you recall, we had a lot of issues a few years ago in this area. I'm really proud of the fact that we've completely changed our MO. We just had, last year, we were put out for bids, and we had 8 different IPA firms fighting to get our work. And the reason why they do that is we're a good profit center for them. In other words, we're an easy audit for them. We don't have any problems. Everything's ready. They come in, they get out, and they leave, and it's done. And this is another reflection of that. And I do have to say, it comes down to the administration respecting the fact that although the audits are a pain in the rear end, nobody likes to have them, but everyone wants to have a good one. And they respect that. People that really need to be singled out. Trish Passwaters, I don't think you realize how involved she is in the federal programs and the special ed, and that's really under the microscope of the auditors. Mary Sparrow in the kitchen, and Marcia, they handle all of our lunchroom, and that always gets looked at every single year, and we never have any issues there. Athletics, Matt, we had a minor comment, but that was
something he and I are both working on, but athletics is something I always look at in depth, and there's nothing significant there. And then the people in my office, Teresa Brandt, Marcia Kurt, Vicki Blosser, Sarah Kurt, and Mr. Hall. I mean, this is why we're here now. So I'm very proud of that fact, and I think that the district should be. So that's something that we'll hang on the wall.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you for doing that and watching our timelines and getting us back on track. It's all part of it. And with that, I do have one other thing. I passed this out to you guys. It has nothing to do with school finance except for one thing. Time Magazine just had an article out not long ago, and it was a very good article. It was very bipartisan, and it talked to why insurance is as pricey as it is and why healthcare is so expensive. And you say, well, why are we even talking about that? Well, I think we need to realize that in 2010, our insurance for health, vision, and dental made up 10% of our budget. In 2013, it'll make up 14% of our budget. Okay? That's a 40% increase in 4 years. And that's the average for health insurance increases in the nationwide is 10% a year. And the CPI is 3.4%. So something is wrong there. There's not much we can do other than we have to recognize that fact. And as you know, through our negotiations, we did get a nice cap put in place of 8% as the max the board will be responsible for taking on in new premium increases. But that's going to build pressure somewhere else. Because as your employees get pinched on their insurance side, they'll want to pinch back somewhere else on the salary side. So we need to be cognizant of that fact, and it's got to give somewhere at some point. We talk about things that aren't sustainable. 10% a year forever is just not sustainable in anybody's budget. And that's where we're at. So very, very good article. Good information for you. And with that, I'm done with my talking.
Tim, I only ask you on your financial report on number 14. I just got a quick question. That 97004 for the farm account, doesn't that go in, or is that the money that we talked about before about the farm? Because there's another farm account in here. Why wouldn't it be in that one?
Are you looking at the financial summary?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at our farm account that has all the funds from the operation.
Is that the account that we talked about?
Where we charge them rent,
yeah.
Basically? Yeah, $20,000.
I didn't know why that wasn't in with that $81,000 on that other account.
You're talking about
the FFA farm account? That's their account, right?
The FFA farm account.
Right.
Is the FFA's account, which they place all the revenues from farming the district's land.
And that's what they buy all their equipment with and build their barn stuff with. That 970 is what we talked about negotiating with them to get that back, right?
When you say 970. Right?
There's $970 in that one account, that farm account number 14. That's all I was asking is what that $970 was. If we have this account, I wasn't sure if that other one was the account that's in the general fund. The rent, right?
Well,
is that what that is?
The FFA farm account pays $20,000 a year to the general fund, and has to pay the general fund back because the board owns the land they're operating to generate this revenue. So right now, the FFA farm account has $132,000.
So what's that $970 then?
That's where
it's number 14.
When you say
clear up the top, go ahead. It's 014.
There you go. 014.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay. What you're talking about is the fund number, which is the first three digits. The farm account here,
$970. Yeah, what is that?
That is a...
Is that general fund account?
That's a rotation account. And to be honest, I'll have to take a look at that. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at that.
Because if that's not general fund, can't we just roll that over into their account then?
No. And the reason being is... Other than general fund, you can't just transfer money from one fund to another. That's by law.
Well, what I'm getting at is that their money?
No, it's not the FFA. Yeah. It's an old farm account.
That's the old board farm account.
Right.
When I was teaching ag on the splits, I used to have to deposit into that account.
But that's different than FFA. That's the old
That's the old.
That's all I was asking. We can't give that to the.
Technically, that's the Board of Education.
Oh.
That should probably go to general fund. But what it'll take a special action for us to do this. But I'll be honest, I always watch the FFA farm account because that's where all that activity is now. But I'm glad you pointed that out. It's just $970 we can transfer over to general fund.
That 970 was in the old farm account when.
When I used to do the 50.
Under the old agreement between the board. So actually, that's FFA money.
That's what I was asking if it.
No.
No, FFA would have already got there.
Well.
Education, because we'd make the split, like if I sold 500 bushels of soybeans, 250.
Right.
The sales go to the board, 250 to the ag.
So should that go into that, rent account, or is that something completely different?
It's money that was left over. It probably should just go to the general fund because now we have a new process set up where they're just paying.
Right now, just sitting there doing nothing.
That's just one we can wipe off if we can roll it over.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And if you notice, we have wiped out a lot of funds. This used to be about 16 pages long. It's about 10 pages now. So we've been, every year, Marcia and I, little way at it. But there was a lot of extra accounts. But the good news is FFA, even after paying us, has $132,000 in the account, which is a good, strong account. And they have, by the way, they have a budget, too, that we sit down and go over with them that they established at the beginning of the year that says we're going to spend money on equipment and everything is spelled out. It's not like they're just doing whatever they want to. So.
That's because in this county, you still can make some money on farming.
Some of the accounts, if you look at the FFA, the farm, at one time it was a 50-50. And that's how, as Chris said, that's how the 970 remains in there. Then we went to where the board took nothing out for several years. Then during the last couple of years, we come back and said, hey, we need to tap in to put some back into the board share because of some of the expenses we have, the paying taxes or whatever. So we're not making that much money. It's just sort of some of the expenses we have. It's only fair for the board to absorb all that. And that was not a decision that Tim and I made. It was a group decision with all the instructors a couple years ago. Right, if it's been a decision, us would probably take it more.
Go back to the 50-50 split, maybe?
Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome. And that's all I have.
So I have a motion under the financial action items.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the February 2013 financial statements be accepted as presented.
Don will second that.
Motion by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Moorlach?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And Mr. Hall, do you have superintendent report tonight?
Just a couple items and make it short and sweet. In your, somewhere on your, under your paper, you see a paper there from Chevron. What that is, we have been contacted by this company to come into our intermediate and do a study on the heating, air conditioning, and electric. This is free of charge. And we're doing that with the anticipation May 7th that we can have some numbers in place when our levy passes and we can start looking at the intermediate building in these areas. So again, they come in, they do a study. No obligation to the board, financial or obligated to do the work, whatever. And we pick it up from that. We just be a little proactive. Our windows are completed. We put about 52 windows in the intermediate school. And our door security should be finished up here in the next couple days. So
is that including the key cards or the cards?
That would give a whole new locking system entry with the key fobs. We know exactly if Sunday at 2 o'clock who goes in there and uses that key fob, there's a record who was in there. So it's a pretty neat system. It's pretty up to date.
Is Joe going to be in charge of that? Key fob system or the
Joe any new fobs might need getting it programmed and issuing the key fob would really involve it sure some way because it has to go through our IT end of it.
Yep. Okay.
And one other thing, our district leadership team will be meeting, have a second meeting coming up here Thursday. If you recall, the district leadership team is that improvement, Mike's on it, Jennifer, and some of the people sitting here, all the administrators are on that. And our purpose here again is to look at ways that we can improve student achievement and zero in on some things so we can help kids be better learners. And going right along with the district leadership team, we have Race to the Top that's coming up that we work hand in hand. And I've asked Karen tonight to give you an update on the Race to the Top, which we should do on a periodic basis. And with that, I'll turn it over to Karen.
Good evening. Thanks for letting me come and speak to you a little bit about the work that's been going on in our school district, specifically with our teachers and administrators with our Race to the Top efforts. As you well know, this is our third year as a Race to the Top school district, and so we're working diligently to put into place actions within our district that are going to make us competitive with other school districts when the Common Core assessments come into align in not next school year, but the school year after that. I want to kind of update you a little bit about some of the work, and I'm not sure if I've used this.
Point it towards here. You know how to use that.
Pardon? Point it towards you. Okay. All right. One of the efforts that we've been working on is the Ohio Teacher Evaluation System. As you began at the beginning of your meeting, you talked about the new superintendent evaluation system. This is the new evaluation system for all of our teachers. And we have been working a great deal to work under this scope this year. We're implementing half of the evaluation system this year and the other half next year. And I know you've seen this before, but just as a reminder, this is basically how our teachers are now evaluated. There's more accountability now than there ever has been before. 50% of their job evaluation is on their performance. That's those classroom observations and walkthroughs that all the principals, myself, Mr. Penny, and Mrs. Passwaters have been doing this year with all of our teachers. 50% is based on that. And now can I go back to that other slide again?
Hit your left.
There we go. 50% is based on that. And the other 50% is based on student growth measures. Now this year we're only implementing, as you know, the teacher performance part. Next year, half of each teacher's evaluation will be based on how much growth their students show on assessments. So this group of teachers and administrators, led up by Mr. Clark, and encompassing Bridget Ochter, Christina Finney, Michelle Hildebrandt, Jana Regal, Leslie Reisinger, Gina Gill, myself, have been working on how that actually plays out in the district. Last year, that group worked on writing the teacher performance measure. And this year, we're working on that whole, the implementation of that. Teachers are receiving immediate feedback through walkthroughs that administrators are performing frequently. And the other thing to note is that House Bill 555, when it was passed in January, made some changes to what we believed was going to happen with teacher evaluation this year, or I'm sorry, next year. And so what has happened, there it is in the past, we were under the assumption that like OAA, Ohio Achievement Assessments, would count for only a portion of this 50%. But now under House Bill 555, if a teacher teaches a subject area that has Ohio Achievement Assessments, not next school year, but the year after, they have to use the full 50% in their evaluation. That's going to be a challenge for us. It's going to be a challenge for every school district. First of all, value-added data is based on 3 through 8, Ohio Achievement Assessments. So we're depending on students in probably their most vulnerable stages of life to perform successfully on exams. So with that, we have been looking at adding some more value-added measurements so that not everything is just centered, directed towards those third grade through eighth grade teachers. So one thing that we are doing is we're extending the number of teachers who will link and have value-added data from eighth grade now through the 11th grade. What that will mean is, and we talked about this at the last board meeting, the implementation of end-of-course assessments, ACT end-of-course assessments in those categories, Algebra 1, Geometry, Algebra 2, and Pre-Calculus, Biology and Chemistry, U.S. History, English 9, and English 11. Not only will that provide us with value-added data for our teachers, but it will also then provide us an assessment of how rigorous our high school classes are and how well we are doing at educating students towards those higher standards. I just placed the order for those, so those are going to happen this May. They are electronic assessments, so students will go online to take those. So there will be primarily multiple choice assessments at this point. We'll use those ACT assessments for the next 2 years, and then the following school year we'll be going to the PARC assessments, which are going to be mandated to us anyway. The value-added committee, I know you guys are really excited back there, aren't you? The value-added committee with Kim Legault and Sarah Ellenberger, Stormy Hiram, Carmi Lark, Brad Miller, and myself have been working now with the OTES committee. Before last year, they were two separate groups. Now we're working together and to try to finalize that OTES process. The other piece is student learning objectives. So we have this large population of teachers that will not have any value-added data because they don't teach subject areas that have that are value-added subjects. That would include our kindergarten through second grade teachers, art teachers, physical education teachers. All of that is now mandated to us by the state that we have to have some form of assessment of students that goes into the teacher's evaluation. And so we have been working on writing student learning objectives. We actually asked all of our teachers to write a student learning objective regardless of if they have value-added data so that we could train everybody and everyone learn the process in case something were to change at some point. Maybe the state goes back on their percentages, that everybody's been trained and learned how to do that. So we've actually used two of our early releases for that process. The January early release was used. We brought in specialists from the Central Ohio ESC to train all of our staff, and then the February early release was used as they were collaboratively in writing their student learning objectives. That will now become a performance measure for teachers. None of that goes into their evaluation for this year, however. All of those will be looked at in next year's evaluation. Kim Legault and myself went and had some formalized SLO training through the ODE model, but then we also sent teachers and coaches to have training on that too so that they could act as support staff for our other teachers as they work on that process. It seems like it should be a simple thing just to write an objective, our students will do this, but it's a 4-page document. So hence the reason why we used early release time and we're providing so much support to our staff in order to do that. And then actually tomorrow I'm going to train our principals in how to evaluate those SLOs because they've all been turned in at this point. Another one of the most recent efforts is the instructional improvement system. This is something Race to the Top standards we're required to have by next year. I think we're fortunate. 120 schools in the state were looked at to pilot the statewide instructional improvement system. 10 were selected. We were one of them, and we're the only one in Central Ohio selected for that. myself, Christina Finney, and Beth Jones went to training actually just last week to learn about the system. It's a pretty interesting system. What it is, it's a computerized system, and so all of these things feed into it. So we'll have access to all of our ODE assessments in this kind of like one-stop shopping. Access to all of our ODE assessments, instructional resources, not just our own instructional resources, but from banks of research-based instructional resources. Teachers will have those at their fingertips. The standards, curriculum examples, both from Ohio and other states using the Common Core, as well as our own, and online professional development resources. So imagine you have an objective to teach in your classroom and you're not sure what to do. This system not only will link you to professional development, it'll also link you to lesson plans and other instructional resources. And it's a place where you can generate assessments that we know are valid because they're coming from research-based sites. So they can also do that. Once they do that, the kids can take their assessments online again, electronically, and it'll immediately score and generate the report, and you'll know immediately what it is the kids need assistance with. Oh, okay. there's going to be a Race to the Top conference in March, and I've been asked to kind of co-present on that with the IIS as one of the pilot districts. So that's going to take place in March. Originally, when we were told that we were one of the pilot districts for this, they asked me, how many teachers are you going to put in, you know, volunteer for this? And I said, our teachers are spread way too thin already. I said, all I'm going to do is ask for volunteers. I'm not going to push anybody to do it, and I think maybe I can get 3. And luckily, it was a conference call. Toledo City Schools was on there. They were like, Madison Plains, don't worry about it, because we've got the whole district. You know, we can cover the numbers. Well, we had 16 teachers volunteer. So our teachers are very committed and very interested in moving this this pilot forward. And so while Christina and Beth and I are doing some work right now in March with the system, we're going to be looking at those volunteers and beginning their work after spring break. Formative instructional practices. This all feeds in together. It's the way that we instruct so that we're informing what we're doing as we're instructing. We're going to be working on a lot of professional development with our teachers so that gone are the days where you have an agenda and you're getting there with or without the kids. We have to be looking at what it is they know, what they've learned, what is our next step constantly. And so right now we're training all of our teachers in formative instructional practices. They're currently being trained through online modules, and we have 16 trained facilitators in our district, led up by our coaches, Allison Cummins, Beth Jones, Melanie Moslins, and Christina Finney. We are developing a continuous professional development plan with that. So we're not going to say, hey, you did it on an online class, why aren't you using it? That's not an option. We're going to continuously support them and help them use it. And so this group of people, these facilitators, who again are all volunteers, have been going to this training and are working with myself and the coaches to develop a professional development plan for the district so that we can make sure that these practices are used. Finally, the other effort that is going on is curriculum mapping. According to Race to the Top, we have to show evidence that we have looked at all of the new standards and mapped them out to match our curriculum. So currently I'm working with all of our K-12 teachers in math and in language arts to basically look at our courses now, decide if they align to the standards, which they don't because we've been working under old standards for so long, and writing new units for each of those. That post-it chart on the back kind of shows what groups we're currently working with and when the next groups are going to start. So We're almost finished with kindergarten English language arts. They wrote 6 units of study for the language arts portion of it. So if you can imagine 12, 13 grade levels, each writing 5 or 6 in 2 different subjects. We're hoping by sometime this summer that we're gonna have 150 to 200 units written that are aligned to the Common Core. We think the IIS system will also help us with that and making sure that we have appropriate resources chosen. And then finally, this is all tying into what Mr. Hall was talking about the Ohio improvement process. And we're working hard to make sure that all of our efforts from Race to the Top are not lost after Race to the Top is over. So that's where our district leadership team comes into play and our building leadership teams, and they'll be carrying in some of these efforts back into the school to make sure that all of those things continue to happen. I would say that I think it's really important to acknowledge the work that teachers have done so far in this, especially all those people who have stepped up and volunteered this year. We have probably a dozen teachers in addition to the people who have been working on Race to the Top, who have volunteered in other capacities this year. So it's really important to acknowledge them and their outside time in many cases that they're giving to this project. Have any questions for me?
I have a question for
yeah.
you. I know I hesitate to ask this question.
Okay.
So should I be concerned about the value-added ratings? I talked to Mr. Hall.
We absolutely should be concerned about that.
Okay.
We have to work on it. We have to work on it. We have to get better because we're too good not to worry about it.
Yes, I was surprised, definitely surprised. My question is, you said was this value added based on grades 3 through 8?
3 through 8. What is reported on our district report card is only 4 through 8, but our third grade teachers also generate value added data.
So next year, it will be extended, you said, 3 through 11.
Yes, we will, as a district, we will have value added data on all of our teachers from 3rd grade to 11th grade. But what actually gets reported on our state report card will only be 4 through 8 until 2 years from now. And then it will start to extend.
The end of the course exam is what picks up that.
Yes, those end of course exams are what's picking that up. What we don't want to do is end up working really hard on 4th through 8th grade and improving things, and in 2 years find out we completely dropped the ball in high school.
Sure.
So that's why we're trying to prepare for that as well. But you should genuinely be concerned. I'm genuinely concerned, and that's something that we have, and that's why we have the Ohio improvement process starting that, because we
and
have
you think
to work
all
on
of these
better.
The Ohio improvement process and all of these other OTEs, SLO, FIPs, OIPs.
And the truth is, I know what all of those
I know you do. I am so impressed that you do, okay, because I have to write them all down. By putting all this together, you think this will help improve our Race to the Top value next year?
Yeah, one thing to know is we're not going to have a district rating next year. No school district is supposed to have a district rating next year.
Okay.
Although we will get reported on each of these areas. So it won't be a thing that comes back and says, Madison Plains is this, you know. But there'll be other articles that say other things.
But we will know where we are.
But we will know where we are. We will know if we're making progress in individual areas.
Okay.
You had mentioned that the end of course exam was an ACT.
The ones that we are going to do this year and next year are ACT end of course exams, preparing us for doing the PARC exams, which are the Common Core ones, in 2 years.
Okay, I was curious about that.
Mm-hmm.
Do the teachers have midterms or finals in these classes now, so that they would have an idea of the midterm? You know,
like how well they're doing.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. When a teacher gives a midterm or a final, it's usually something they create themselves. And so it's not uncommon that everything looks fine. But when you have an outside assessment validating that what's happening in our Algebra 2 class or what's happening in our biology class is working or not working, that's what really gives us the information about what we need to improve upon.
So that ACT test is going to have questions or subjects covered that are pertaining to the model that the teachers are supposed to be using for that particular class.
Right, right. Because it'll be of College Board standards.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
And tied to the Common Core, too, right?
And yes, yes. So, but we won't, and I don't want to give the impression that the ACT exam is going to look anything like the PARC assessments are going to look, because that's a whole different ballgame, and that's going to be a lot of constructed response, extended response, things like that. This is just going to be our first glimpse of what our high school classes, how our high school classes are achieving.
Okay. I just like to say OMG.
I say that every day.
You're doing a great job, and I know this. I know, and I appreciate all the teachers' time and effort. And I know, with just trying to teach and then trying to do all of this too, it is very demanding. But I appreciate all your work and theirs too.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moving on to new business, so I have a motion for item one.
I'll make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the first reading of the following board policies as listed. I would rather not have to read all those, so is that all right, President?
Yes. Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Linda, second by Don. Discussion?
Do we have anybody in ROTC?
Army Day.
Do we have anybody in ROTC? Or I guess it's JROTC.
No, we don't have any RO. Right, Chris?
Yeah, but I can help you address that, why we put that in there. We have kids that transfer from other school districts.
Okay, they've already told me.
And so we accept that. That's for that phys ed portion is why that's on there. Like, we're connected to like Grove City Schools and Southwestern Schools. They have junior ROTC programs. We have some kids that come down here as freshmen and sophomores. They've taken them, so that's why we allow that.
But we don't have anybody.
No, we don't have that here.
I have a question too. On the support staff pupil activity contracts, we have to have a policy because we can hire people, but yet if they are employed by us, we still can't hire them to do a supplemental because we can't pay them overtime still. Is that correct?
You can hire them, but you'd be
have to pay. We'd have to pay them overtime.
Pay the time and a half.
Okay.
And I think it's what the policy states.
Yeah. I just wanted to verify that.
The only other thing, Chris, are we doing okay on the community service stuff?
I'll have a better picture by May. We're always collecting that. We transferred some of the collecting to our high school secretaries. We're over 70% of the students. And when I say that, I bet if I were to look more, we've got every student that's got some hours. So as far as this year's graduating class, because that kicks in this year, the full 20-hour requirement. So we've got that. I don't have it a full 100% yet.
I know you gave us a sheet here. Yeah. Couple months back, just to make sure. I don't want to see anybody get blindsided by that. So.
Nobody should be blindsided. I mean, we've called, sent letters, okay. Met with kids.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Slaughter.
Yes.
Mr. Brandt.
Yes.
Mr. Morlock.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item two.
I'll make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve to remove the senior seminar half a credit as a graduation requirement beginning with the 2014 graduating class.
Second.
Motion by Linda, second by Don. Discussion?
What is this?
I told you that this year's class would be doing that. That's
okay.
They're not.
Okay. What is this?
remember 5 years ago when...
Sure, like yesterday.
5 years ago...
Mr. Clark was proactive 5 years and did all that work. This is funny to get to.
Yeah, 5 years ago, if you remember, the state legislature had asked that school districts would put an end-of-course capstone project in. And at the same time, the core had not come out yet.
Uh-huh.
We went on ahead and left the capstone project in place, not knowing what we were going to do with the core, if the board was going to adopt the core education and everything. Well, also, we've gone on ahead and we've gotten into the 10-year plan through some attrition. I don't have as much staff at the high school to handle the capstone project now.
Is that like the senior project?
That's the senior
project. That's what the word I was looking for. Okay.
And we've geared all the kids up now because we've had kids asking, are we going to schedule or are we not going to schedule? But I just don't know if we're there to support it.
I wasn't real in favor of that anyway. I know, you know, to begin with, so I'm kind of glad you get that.
And the other piece to that is under the Common Core standards, there's so much research that's going to be required of students from 3rd to 12th grade that it's less necessary to require that research.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing, so I'm all for that.
So the OED almost took care of that with the new core so that we didn't really have to do that. Okay.
Please call the roll.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swanberg?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item 3.
Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ Jim Noble as substitute bus driver effective March 5th, 2013.
I'll second. Motion by Ken, seconded by myself. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Motion for item 4.
Mr. Chairman, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ Doug Kress on a 64-day contract as a bus driver, step 0, effective February 21, 2013.
Second.
Motion by Don, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I have a motion for item 5.
I move upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following athletic supplemental contracts for the 2012-2013 school year. Be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated agreement. List is on your agenda.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Don, seconded by Ken. Discussion?
We've had this issue in the past with probably another sport, but we do have a reserve baseball team?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have a varsity? Did we hire the varsity baseball coach already?
No.
Okay.
All the paperwork's not in.
Okay. I was just seeing that varsity softball, varsity.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Moving on to donations, I have a motion for item 1.
Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the following donations: $25 from Buckeye Ford, $455 to the Hunger Benefit Dinner, and $184.35 for the Kroger.
Motion by Ken, I'll second it. Motion by Ken, seconded by myself. No discussion. Please call the roll.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I do not have anything for executive session tonight. Does anyone else on the board have anything?
Mr. President, I move that we adjourn at 8:25.
I'll second. Motion by Dave, seconded by myself. Please call the roll.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Next regular meeting will be held April 16th at 7 p.m. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
being on. Good to see you.
It's my pleasure, Mark.
Thank you.